Hello and welcome to the Dice Guys audio podcast, episode number 4 for September 24th, 2011. Today on the Dice Guys, Jason and Mike cover brick and mortar stores and their failure to adapt to changing technology, expensive games, what makes a game very expensive, and is it worth your hard-earned cash? They also do their picks of the week, and they have some brain flakes, which are still crunchy in milk after a week. That's some good brain. Yeah, oh, man.
Trying to kill me.
All right, well, welcome to the Dice Guys. I'm Jason.
And I'm Mike.
And if you haven't checked out our website yet, the address is www.thediceguys.com.
The Dice Guys.
The Dice Guys.
Don't go to diceguys.com. It doesn't exist anymore.
Or if it does, it's pretty lame. Anyway.
The Dice Guys.
The Dice Guys. Make sure you check it out. Mike, what have you done this week?
What have I done this week? I have done the website.
And an excellent job at that.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, we didn't really have a website, and now we do. It kind of looks like a website now. There are articles to read, and there are comments that you can add, and you can look at a review, and you can listen to the podcast, and there's even advertisements on it and everything. So it's beginning to actually look like a real website and with real things to do.
We need to start making these podcasts a little bit more professional sounding because now we have a place for them to go.
Yes, yes. I still have to fix a few things. There's still, you know, some cosmetic stuff to do and everything. But pretty much the website's there. So
yep, and we hope it's worth your time to check out.
Mm-hmm.
As for me, I had my youngest daughter's 24th birthday.
Excellent.
Yes. And she decided she wanted a gaming party.
And that's even more excellent. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like a chip off the old block.
Yep. That's the kind of parties I've always liked to have.
Chips and blocks.
Yeah. Something like that. Anyway.
Are those the blocks with the little letters on them?
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
I don't really know either. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
Carry on. I'm in a different podcast.
We might both be in a different podcast. This is the sleep deprivation episode.
Yes, it is pretty much sleep deprivation episode. So.
Yep.
I can't even say deprivation.
That's a good sign, I guess.
So how was the birthday party?
It was a lot of fun. We got to hang out with a lot of family that we don't normally get to see. And when those fuddy-duddies went home, we got to play games. So that was a blast.
I like the word fuddy-duddy.
Yeah, me too. It's a great word.
Mm-hmm.
We played some Guillotine. That's her favorite game.
Okay, that's a good
and,
game.
And then a little bit of Zombie Dice.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're both...
Always a good starter.
Oh, yeah. They're good, quick games. They get you in the mood to play, you know, and... Can never have enough zombie dice. And then we got into the meat of the party, which I really don't know that that works at all. But anyway, we've got...
You had a birthday cake made of meat? What?
Yeah. No cake, actually. She didn't want cake this year. We went pizza.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They might have had meat on the pizza.
Yeah, there definitely was. Oh. But yeah, that wasn't the point of what I was trying to get at.
The point being
that I haven't role-played in a long time, and we got to actually role-play. And so the vast majority of the gaming section of the party was spent playing a game called Gamma World.
Ah, I know Gamma World.
Yes.
Well, not this one, I don't think.
Well, you know, it's not that different. We played when it was first released way back in the early 80s.
What? When?
Yes, we're old. Early 80s. Okay. I'm at my daughter's 24th birthday party. They know we're old.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't have a 24-year-old. I'm just saying.
No, no. You're just, what, 3.5 months older than I am.
Shut up.
Anyway. I love pointing that out. Gamma World, originally, TSR released it, early 80s, and we had a blast playing it.
Yeah, we did. I liked it a lot.
This is designed a little bit more around the concept of humor than I think the original was. There was some funny stuff in the original, but this is all designed just for like pure entertainment value. You randomly roll your origins,
mm-hmm.
and you roll two of them. And then you figure out how they mesh together. Such as we had in this game, a feline,
mm-hmm.
a cat person, who was temporal. In other words, they weren't exactly in sync with our same timeline.
Mm.
So that was kind of interesting. We had an electrical shapeshifter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a shapeshifter that could throw electrical bolts.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an exploding mind coercer. Okay. Meaning basically that this one was played by my daughter. She, as she took damage or got stressed out, fire and sonic force would be released from her body in a burst radius.
Okay.
Okay, She also had mind control abilities. I'm not going to go into the whole details of the thing because we don't have that much time, but suffice it to say, a lot of really funny stuff happened. There's multiple role-playing opportunities in this game, and I mean, if you really just give yourself over to it, it's a blast. You'll find yourself laughing all night. I really enjoyed it. It was a great game. If you're a hardcore gamer and you don't like humor in your games, stay the hell away from this game and probably this podcast.
So it sounds like you've actually got your Game of the Week pick.
Yeehaw, gosh, snake ass.
Oh, yeah. I think that all that spiel was probably my pick for the Game of the Week.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Gamma World.
Totally glossed over my game of pick of the week. Yeah.
Now this new Gamma World it'll have a lot of the 4th edition D&D type rules.
It is based on a light version of 4th edition rules.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have healing surges.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Gives something for other people to do.
Yep. There's several other things. Resurrection isn't really a thing that happens in this game. You die, roll up another character real quick.
Hmm.
And it really doesn't take that long to roll up a character, so that's all good and dandy. This game is less about min-maxing, you know, less about getting the best stuff or the best stats and all that kind of stuff, and more about just having a hell of a good time playing the game.
Now, you had the expansion set too, right?
Famine and Fargo. I made the mistake of going into my friendly local game store before going to the party to pick up the game of Guillotine for my daughter, and ended up picking up the expansion Famine and Fargo for Gamma World.
That's what happens when you have money when you go in the game store.
Absolutely. More people should do it. That it added a whole slew of other origins. A lot of new monsters, a lot of new die-cut counters.
Mm-hmm.
It was really awesome to have. I think it added a new element to the game. I highly suggest it if, you know, somebody has the original and hasn't picked up the expansion, do so.
It's totally worth your money. It's a good milieu. It's a good setting.
Right.
That's different than just the fantasy stuff that people usually play.
Right. Absolutely.
So if somebody wants something more science fiction, end of the world type thing, this would be a good one to pick up. If it's anything like the 80s one, I mean, it's a total different thing.
Right, and it's actually a mix of universes and timelines, so anything's possible.
Yeah.
Absolutely anything's possible if it's imaginable by your game master, then It's good to go.
Well, I'm actually looking forward to playing this. Not so much the 4th edition D&D. I tried that, didn't care too much about some things. But that's another podcast.
Yes, it is.
But for this, it sounds like it might work. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested in trying it out.
All right, speaking of things that work and don't work, as the case may be, let's talk about Facebook.
Well, everybody's talking about Facebook. I don't see why we shouldn't flake it off our brain and talk about Facebook, too.
That is correct. Let's hit the brain flakes.
Brain flakes.
Facebook made some changes recently.
Yeah. Hmm? Yeah. A lot of people aren't happy. Some people are.
Some people are. We've actually seen some people say, yay, I like it. And good for them. And I want to say up front that they own their own property. They can do whatever the hell they want with it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I just think there's a right way to go about things and a wrong way to go about things. And just arbitrarily changing stuff without giving us a choice as to whether we want those changes or not, I think that's pretty inconsiderate of your users.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I read about this was a particular person who said that they actually had seen the changes about a week before.
Mm-hmm.
And when they mentioned to people, nobody knew what he was talking about, because it hadn't been rolled out to everybody yet. So it's like they beta tested on people beforehand, but didn't tell anybody they were part of a beta test. And then they roll it out all of a sudden, don't really announce it. They have some kind of event, some mm-hmm. kind of meeting event where they announced it, but they rolled it out about the same time or before the event. Totally surprised everybody, took everybody back. So,
you know, I don't mind being a lab rat. I like to know I'm a lab rat before...
Knowing you're a lab rat's fine, you know, because I like cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cheese is pretty good. Depends on the cheese. I don't really like Limburger so much.
And this is Limburger.
Sure. Yeah, this is Limburger for us, yeah. I don't like the fact that you can't really put things in chronological order anymore. When I go to a social networking site, I pretty much want to see things in chronological order. Like my sister-in-law had a baby this week. I kind of want to know that she went into the hospital and then had the baby, rather than getting the announcements the other way around and wondering what the hell happened.
Right.
You know? So there's other things that it's putting things up in this top news section and splitting them off and saying what's important to me. And everything it's put up there are things that I posted. I'm not interested in what I posted. Mm-hmm. I know what I posted. They're pretty important. But otherwise, I don't need to read them again.
You know, it's a kind of useful feature for somebody with my kind of memory. It's like, really? Did I say that?
Yeah, you do get a chance then to edit it or delete it. Or
yeah.
Whatever. Oh, wait, no, you can't edit on Facebook.
No.
You can only delete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If I don't want those top stories up there, there should be an option to get rid of them.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to scroll down past the top stories to start getting to information that I actually want to read.
Yeah, it's got those little blue corner things that are supposed to be marking things that are important also. Every single one of my stories is marked with a blue corner. Now, not everything on there can possibly be important. Facebook thinks it is.
Well, so far, I mean, it's obviously going to take time for their algorithm to figure out what you like, what you don't like, what
which
you find
also
important.
Won't work if you don't go there that often.
Which won't work if you don't go there that often, and I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely don't. I've got people on there that are there 10 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for those people, it probably will work fantastically. For me, it's not ever going to learn.
Yeah.
And well, I'm going to constantly get things up there from people that I barely know. And they're telling me something about their hangnail that I just don't care to see or know about.
But it's important now.
It's important, apparently.
Yeah, it's very important.
I love the fact that a social website gets to tell me what is important to me.
Yeah.
Wait, no, I don't.
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure about
that.
Are you pretty sure?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's almost like Facebook took a page out of Netbook's marketing.
Netflix.
Sleep deprivation.
All right.
They took a page out of Netflix's marketing style. You know, Netflix also putting their foot in it.
You know, but I've got to give the CEO of Netflix some credit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because they announced their changes just before they happened. But then he sent out a letter saying, you know what? I think we did this kind of bass-ackwards.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm paraphrasing. I don't think he would actually use the word bass-ackwards. But
I don't remember reading
that. I don't remember reading that word. But
although it would be cool if it was.
It would really be awesome. Oh, you're human. Okay. But anyway, I mean, it was kind of cool that he sent the letter and everything. And again, it's their business. If they want to split the streaming up as separate revenue from the physical DVDs, I've got nothing bad to say about mm-hmm. that. That's fine. There are some people that don't have access to streaming. They don't carry their laptops around with them. They don't have mobile. They don't have smartphones with access to Netflix. They don't watch it through their gaming devices.
They don't have good connections. They're in a part of the city, or they're out in a rural countryside where they can only get it by satellite.
So they want to get their discs mailed to mm-hmm. them. And why should they have to pay for the streaming service if they're not going to use it? I'm totally down with all that. They're good with that, okay?
I don't have so much problem with what Netflix is doing, really. And
it's the way they did it.
Well, I do have one problem. Quickster, really?
That's a stupid name. Stupid name. And
really, Quickster?
Of course, it's been brought up. If anybody pays attention to Twitter at all, if they would have done the minimum amount of research, they would have found out that Quickster already belongs to some dude that tweets and street speak and makes jokes about pot smoking. He came out yesterday and said, I've never done drugs in my life, and just because my profile picture has a joint on it and I talk about drugs doesn't mean I do them. Well, yeah, you know, you're going to kind of give the impression that you do, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that they chose a name that's being used by some perceived dope-smoking gangbanger.
Dope fiend.
Yeah. And whether he is or not, that's the perception. And now they're kind of screwed.
They have to buy the name from him.
They have to buy the name from him. Now, there was talk about him saying he was going to sell the name. Now he's saying, no, this is him. This is not him selling the name. But I don't know. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
I think they could offer enough money to a dope fiend.
I think they're... Dope fiend or not, I mean, you and me, they could offer it to us.
And I'll give them my name.
And we'll be like...
It can be the Mike service.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it can be the Mikester.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
It's just as horrible as Quickster.
It's just as horrible as Quickster.
You know, so Mikester, you know, hey, Netflix, if you're listening to this, read, call me up. Just call me. You got my name. I'll even do you one better. I will tattoo Mikester... Okay, I'm not going to do that.
It's like, okay, I'm not that desperate for money.
Wait, how much are you going to offer me?
We'll
look into it.
Anyway, we'll let you guys know if anything comes of that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we have one more flake that I really want to discuss.
Which is cool because, I think it'd be cool if we do one science brain flake every time. That'd be kind of cool.
I don't know that we can commit to that, but we'll try.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Science!
Science! All right. Gamers helping out the scientific community.
And what do they do?
Well, the big news right now is that they took what scientists were seeing as a 2D image and managed to puzzle it together into a 3D image. So they actually figured out the enzyme chain for HIV. They're actually figuring out how to...
How the protease
right
transports it or something like that.
Yeah, it
it's a little beyond me, but
I probably need to study that a little bit more. But the fact of the matter is, the gamers are actually helping them figure this out. And from what I understand, this could quite possibly lead to a cure.
That's awesome.
And I mean, it's gamers doing what they do.
Yeah,
you know.
So they're kind of like crowdsourcing the science.
Absolutely, and they're doing it in other areas as well.
But you know, this isn't new.
This is not new.
They did this back in the last Starfighter.
Yeah, I remember that
remember
movie.
Remember the aliens? Yeah. They like put the little
arcade machine. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. At the gas station or no trailer park home.
Yeah, it was the trailer parks. Well, it's all around, I think. But this guy at the trailer park is the one who played it the best and got taken off. So that's how you find your last Starfighter.
That's right. Kind of.
And just recently, Stargate Universe, Eli, he was chosen. You know, he played a game and he figured out all the ancient language stuff and everything, and ended up going off on, you know, his little journey.
That's right, getting trapped in space and possibly dying. Yes.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I would switch places with him. I don't mind possibly dying in space on an awesome ship like that.
Yeah, that actually I probably would too.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody. I love you. You're my family and my friends, but that would be too cool.
Too cool. Mm-hmm.
All right.
So,
they're figuring out all sorts of things, and yay gamers.
Yay gamers.
That is so totally awesome.
Yeah. So they're doing more of this stuff, I guess, with language, Greek language, some old Greek language texts, and some other things. Science!
Science!
Yeah.
All right, and talking about the scientific community adapting to allow other groups to help them solve their problems, let's talk about brick-and-mortar stores and their need to adapt.
They do need
to the
to
changing
adapt.
Technology.
There's a lot of brick-and-mortar stores out there going out of business because they can't adapt. We've had Borders go out of business.
Or refuse to adapt, yeah.
For some reason. We've had Blockbusters gone through many, many bankruptcies trying to figure out what kind of service it wants to do. I think it's finally settled on a streaming service of some kind to fight with Netflix and distribute DVDs as well. But who knows where that's going to go.
Right.
You've got Borders going out of business because they couldn't fight with Barnes & Noble's Nook or Amazon's Kindle. And the Kindle and the Nook and other electronic media are really taking off.
Right. But what I don't get, okay, libraries have now started lending books, e-books.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to your local library with your Kindle or your Nook or your e-book, and you can borrow a book for 14 days and read it, and after 14 days it expires. Okay? You don't even need to go back to check it back in. You just have to go to the library to pick it up. Download it onto your Kindle. 14 days. There you go. You get to read it. I don't understand why bookstores can't do something like a book rental or something for electronic devices. Something to draw people in. Why can't they do something else? Why can't they focus on something else that will draw the crowd in?
I don't know. I mean, well, years ago, I was thinking in a particular store that I worked at one time should go into the DVD on demand service.
Right.
And do something other than just renting DVDs because Netflix was growing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Do something other than just selling DVDs. Because people were pirating right and left and everything.
Right.
So for people who didn't have the download speed, and at the time the speeds weren't as fast as they were now, they could come to the store, choose the movie they wanted, and then they could do some other shopping and everything while the desk downloaded the movie, or if it already had it on the hard drive, then it would burn the disc, print out the materials, and make a DVD in a box that could be bought right then and there. There are some DVD on demand things out there. They're mostly done on the web.
Right.
But I thought that a brick and mortar store that did this for people who don't have the printers, who don't have the download speed, who do like to go to the store, it'd be a good service for them.
Well, not only would it mean that they could provide probably more movies than if they had to carry a physical stock, it would mean that they could shrink their store footprint.
Mm-hmm.
Down to a smaller size store so that they don't have to carry all those physical DVDs. Therefore, they're reducing their operating costs.
Yeah. And of course, there are limitations.
It seems like a win-win.
Well, yeah, but of course, there were limitations at the time. There weren't so many movies available digitally so they could download them.
Right.
The speeds weren't that fast, so you would have to get a special line put in.
Yeah, you'd have to get really a T1 or something like that.
To really download the things. So there were some limitations, but you could have grown that business and made it yours. Kind of like Netflix grew the DVD by mail business and made it theirs.
Right.
So there's chances there, and all these brick and mortar stores they miss out on these things, and then they wonder why they're failing and why the internet's taking over. The internet doesn't have to take over if you adapt and do something different to offer the people to come into the store, especially in areas where they just don't get very good internet.
Right, definitely. And, I mean, sitting around in your office going, I can't compete with the internet. Well, if that's your thinking, then, yeah, you're right.
You're not going to compete.
You're not going to compete.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, and I'm definitely not saying it would be easy. Mm-mm. I'm not even saying that in the beginning it's going to be very cost effective.
I'm not even saying I could do it. But then, you know.
Who knows? I mean, we are definitely, we're not geniuses or anything. I mean, who are
definitely.
We? We are sitting here doing a geeky little podcast.
Yeah.
So, but it seems to me that there are ways to compete if you're willing to just jump in there and do it.
Well, look at game stores.
You have to take the chance.
Look at the game stores, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, game stores have ways to compete because you can have tournaments in your store. You can have other events, prizes. The publishers put out gaming sets and things to have on certain days and have events. So there's
right,
all things
absolutely.
There to bring people into the store and keep that socialness going. Of the whole social aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
that's much better than a Facebook or even a Google Plus social. So,
well, absolutely. I mean, a bookstore, they used to have events where they did kids' story time and that sort of thing. Which,
well, I know the place I worked didn't do that anymore.
Right. And if when they did, it drew the parents in. All right. Now, take my mother.
Mm-hmm.
If she had to take us to a bookstore or she took one of my daughters to the bookstore, she didn't end up walking out of there with less than $50, $60 worth of books in her own arms.
Yeah.
You know? These kind of events that draw people into the actual brick-and-mortar store can keep these people afloat.
Yeah.
They just have to be willing to do them.
That's probably the biggest thing there. A lot of people aren't willing to do them. But the game stores are.
Yes, they are.
Which is a place where you can pick up my game of the week.
Aha!
Yes. And my game of the week is a card game called Flux.
I love Flux.
Flux is great because Flux really has no rules. Well, it has one rule, and that's the rules can change.
Yeah.
As you play.
Yeah, it's actually a whole game about rules. They just are all different and cancel each other
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fun game. It sounds confusing, but basically you start out with five cards.
I think it's five cards.
Maybe three. It depends on what you're playing. So I changed.
It's like five cards, draw one, play one.
Yeah. That's the beginning rules. Draw a card from the deck and then play a card from your hand. That's the rule. Now the cards in your hand can be things called keepers, which you can play in front of you, and they represent basically things you're trying to build and win the game with. But you don't know what's going to win the game yet until you play
a goal.
Now, those goals can change. Somebody might play one goal, and then right after that, someone plays another goal. So you've got to keep an eye on the goals and kind of know what's around and what might be coming up and what you want to save down as keepers. And the other thing, of course, you can change the rules. So it might suddenly become draw five cards, play one card. Or it might become draw one card and play all your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other things that cause other things to happen. I can't even go into it all.
Oh, there's hand limit cards. Those are awesome. When you have a hand limit of two.
And you have to draw five.
And you have to draw five, play one, and you have a hand limit of two, so you're discarding a bunch of cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just gets pretty chaotic pretty fast. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a good game to screw your neighbor with.
Oh yeah, you get to call people names. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. It's a card game and there's several versions now. You can get there's Monty Python Flux, which has pretty cool cards that when you play them you have to sing Monty Python songs or something like that, which is a lot of fun. There's also Children's Flux, Family Flux. There's a Bible Flux. There's a Jewish Flux.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does.
So they're basically marketing the death out of this thing now that they've made some money off of it. But it's a lot of fun. And if you have a chance to pick it up, I highly recommend it. It's a good starter game for starting mm-hmm. people off. It's a good starter game to start off your gaming session to get people into the gaming mood. Just try it if you haven't
tried
it.
And it's cheap.
It's pretty inexpensive.
Yeah, it's pretty inexpensive.
So we'll have links to this as well as Jason's Game of the Week on our show notes in our podcast. So check that out if you're looking for a place to buy it. If your friendly local game store doesn't have it, then you can just check our website. We'll have a link to where you can get it from. So
absolutely.
Now, it's a very inexpensive game, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some expensive games out there.
Yes.
Really expensive.
Wow. Yeah.
And why do we bring this up, Jason?
Well, this topic came up earlier today when you were like
stumbling around
the net, and all of a sudden you came across a game. And you were basically stunned by the web page. So I came over and I looked at it. And I'm like, yeah, it looks like a normal kind of fun looking game.
Mm-hmm.
The cover of the game's kind of cheesy, you know. But it looks like it might be fun. Saw the price. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Now, back when we were younger and we were really buying a lot of games because
in the Stone Age
for some reason you have a lot of expendable cash back then.
Yeah, I bet.
And and we would pretty much, you know, drop our jaws if a game was $25-$30.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we would look at it funny and go, huh, yeah, right.
And now that's super affordable now.
And with these new generation of games coming out, it's really super affordable. And this one,
I mean,
that we're
I walk into my friendly local game store, and a game is $25. I don't even bat an eye. I just drop the cash.
Yeah.
Pick up the game. Doesn't bother me
at all.
About
normal now.
Yeah.
$49 is about normal.
Yeah, I might blink a little bit at $49, but I mean, it's
yeah, but
it still doesn't bother me.
It's a normal price, and you get good, decent pieces and
right,
heavy
absolutely.
Duty boards and everything like that. This one, $120.
Yeah.
$120. Yeah. That's the pucker factor. Yeah.
Yeah. Things withdrew into my body when
yeah,
I saw
yeah.
that price tag.
Things when it goes over 100, then you start thinking about, can I make the car payment? Or do I get the game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you're a six-figure-a-year person, in which case you're probably more in debt than we are, and you're like, I know I can't make the car payment if I buy the game.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to be fair. I've looked through the game. It's called Fortune and Glory. It's by a place called Flying Frog, and it looks pretty damn cool. I have to admit.
As cheesy as the covers look, going through the rule book, which, how many pages did we figure out it was?
It was about a 30-40 page rule book. It's huge.
30-40 page rule book that we're looking at online.
Full color.
It's full color. Looks like it's probably going to be glossy print. Really high quality rule book.
But it's a pulp adventure board game, you know, set in the 40s, Indiana Jones type stuff.
There's even a Zeppelin.
There's even a Zeppelin piece.
Mm-hmm.
They have player character pieces. It looks like a pretty high quality production.
Yeah, looks very high quality.
It's $120. So
if you're gonna get this, I suggest that you get your group together and have everybody like throw in
$20 or something
yeah.
like that. That's probably how most people are gonna get it.
I can't see putting out that much money for one game
yeah.
by yourself.
I don't. I'm looking to see if I can make the payment and the rent because it looked.
It looks pretty awesome.
Even for $120.
And that's the major question. That's the main thing we wanted to talk about today. What makes the game worth the extra money?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, right off the bat, what throws me off, like I said, the cover of the game's kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
How did you put it about the cover of the rule book? It looks like somebody threw up
with Photoshop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's just a bunch of faces and bodies all mashed together.
Yeah. Just kind of melded together. I don't know. That doesn't really put me off so much because the rest of the pieces and everything look really good.
Well, that's just it. If you can get past that to look at the rest of the stuff, when you first look at the cover, you're like, ah, it's kind of cheesy. You're thinking the quality's not going to be that great. But looking at the rest of the rule book, the pieces, the counters, all that kind of stuff, looks like it's really high quality stuff.
I'd like to get my hands on it and feel it. And then you could tell, is this worth the money? So,
yeah, there's many areas of my life where I've had to get my hands on something to see if it was worth spending my money on. But
hey, you know, I don't want to go into that either. So
I believe Flying Frog. God,
we're leaving this one in. But yeah, they did another game called Last Night on Earth, which is a zombie game, and it's gotten rave reviews around the internet.
It really has, and it looks pretty good, to be honest.
Yeah, so if they've gone from that to this, the thing is that the Last Night on Earth is like a $50 game, and now you're looking at over double the price. So you really have to look at it hard to see if it's worth your money, or your group's money, if that's what you're going to do.
Right.
So
so the things that are going to make a difference, your quality of your pieces.
Exactly. Yeah. Mainly the pieces.
Playability.
Yeah.
Okay.
Replayability.
Every time your group gets together, are you going to want to play this game?
Yeah.
Are you going to want to play it at least once a month? I'm going to go out and just make the statement that if you're not going to play it at least once a month for the at least very dear foreseeable future... Mm-hmm. Then $120 is probably a little too damn much to pay.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing I'd like to know about this is they have scenario cards in the game, but how many are there to play the scenarios? Mm-hmm. I mean, in the Castle Ravenloft game, for example, it comes with a lot of scenarios, and there's a lot of online content.
Well, I was going to say, it actually only comes with like five or six scenarios in the game, but there are more online for you to download.
Yeah.
And...
The game's a fraction of the cost of this one.
The game is a fraction of a cost.
So,
yeah.
And their Last Night on Earth game...
It's like a third of the cost.
Yeah, it's about a third of the cost. But they have about four expansion sets, so that's how they make the money on those. But each of those expansion sets are giving you new scenarios, new characters, new things to do. So for it to be $120 out of the gate, it's got to have a lot of stuff in it. And that'd be something kind of interesting to look into.
Right.
We just got to get somebody to buy the game for us.
Yeah, so if you want to support the Dice Guys, then let us know that you're willing to send us that game. We will get you the information of where to send it. Absolutely. We have no problem accepting your generosity.
Yes, yes. Well, barring that, though, maybe we'll find out a way to get it because
it does look good.
It does look pretty interesting.
Is it going to get our money? We don't know yet, but we will update you as we find out.
Kind of brings up another question, though. If I spend a bunch of money on that, that's money that I won't spend on other games.
Right.
So if people start upping the price on all their games, maybe people won't buy so many. And you're offsetting things that way. It's just, it's a whole mess. Now, on the flip side of that, though, the cost of it with the production into it and everything probably needs to be that much because it's a niche, it's a game for hobby gamers.
Yeah, and this may be a game that they had to have multiple people working on. I mean, a lot of games are 3-4 people.
Yeah.
You know, created the game. They can sell each game for $50 and still make a profit.
If we get a hold,
they've got 15 people on this.
They got. If we get a hold of the game, then we'll look into all that and find that out for sure. So it looks all kind of interesting. So
we're more than happy to be your guinea pigs. And whether we buy it, whether you guys supply it, we're more than happy to do the testing and let you know what we think.
I'm sure we are.
Because, gosh darn it, we'll game for you.
We will, yeah. Oh, yeah, we will game for you with a 4 and a U.
No.
Oh, I was looking for a slogan for the website.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll figure out a slogan eventually.
Okay.
Well, I think that brings us to the conclusion of this one.
Mm-hmm.
Got the... Brain Flakes with the Facebook and the Netflix. We got the Games of the Week, the Flux, and the Gamma World.
Mm-hmm.
And those will show up on our website. Other things we covered, all going to be in the game notes.
Right.
In the show notes. So go on there and find out everything you need. And you can go and research this stuff from our links. Maybe you'll buy the game. $120.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll review it. You review it, send us a review. That'd be cool.
Yeah,
we'll put it up on our website.
Let me tell you, we'll be more than happy to hear your opinion.
Yeah.
We honestly will.
And until next week, though.
Keep rolling those dice.
Keep rolling the dice. Yeah, man. Okay, hold on just a moment here. Just wanted to step in and let everybody know that we understand the $120 was in Australian dollars for that game. The U.S. price, right around 80 to 85, still a little high and approaching that $100 mark. And besides, $120 sounds a lot more funny. Okay, well, that's it. Now, where was that button for the song?
Trying to kill me!